We are with our featured guest, Jean-Claude Coven. We are doing a multiple-part conversation around going deeper. Going Deeper in Conversation. Going Deeper is the name of the book that Jean-Claude has just recently released, How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. And you can purchase the book through the website, which is www.goingdeeper.org. There's a lot of information on the website for you. I guess bookstores are carrying it, no, Jean-Claude?
Yeah, it's in almost all the bookstores. Yeah. You can Google it. It's on Amazon. We have four of the major distributors that have picked it up, so mm-hmm. it's very readily available.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to be doing multiple printings with this. It reminds me to some degree, and this is complimentary, of What the Bleep Do We Know, the film, which integrated quantum physics and some complicated things here with a great sense of humor, too. We haven't even got to that, but we will. I was talking about, we're kind of tracing through some aspects of your life and tying that to the laws of the universe as you perceive them and discussing them about coming into your family and everything. And I found the acknowledgments as interesting as the book itself. I just want to return to something I read. Let me just see. Here it is. It says, and you can pick up with this after I finish, please do not take my personal story as an advocacy of psychedelics. It's not. I tried marijuana only once with rather unfortunate results. Smoking weed totally blocked my channel of communications with the guys for 30 days. It was definitely not worth the price of a few bars of mirth, which I can hum at any time I choose. My favorite train to ride out of this realm of ordinary consciousness is the breath. I was one of the early rebirthers following the techniques of Leonard Orr. My first experience with this remarkable technique of breathing was with Jeremy Burnham, a British expatriate, during one of my visits to Johannesburg. In my very first session, I had a clear image of Jesus, Sai Baba, and Babaji, the patron saint of rebirthing, standing arm in arm, radiating waves of love to me and the rest of the world. Suddenly, the structured arena of ologies and isms became wondrously irrelevant, and if not enlightened, I certainly became, at the least, somewhat lightened by the experience. So, when was that in your life, just the timeline?
Probably around 1980.
Okay.
Or 81, about, yeah.
Yeah, I ask that because of parallels in my own life, of course, but... This, how did this lighten you up? In other words, I mean, when you start hanging out with these beings, and I know you've had many great teachers and teaching experiences, some of which maybe we'll talk about, and the people you acknowledge again in that part of the book who have had a significant impact in your life, people like Jean Houston, and you talk about the Grafs in relationship to the breath work that you were doing. When I first did a rebirthing session with somebody, it was so profound that I integrated into my life and became a teacher of it. And so I know Leonard and, you know, Sandra Ray and a lot of the early people were saying, get into the hot tub and breathe, you know, do the water birthing. And so what happened to you at that point in time? What did that shift in your life?
It shifted something extraordinary. It gave me a realization that stayed with me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
We take our teachings, we take our experiences, and imagine them, if you would, as stepping stones going across a brook. And for some crazy reason, I, like almost everyone else around me that I knew, collected these stones as we went. And we put them in our knapsack, and we called them our beliefs. I am now a Scientologist. I am now a Buddhist. I am now whatever it is, a rebirther, whatever it is that I'm involved in. And that sense of identity only became a higher form of belief. When I had this experience with Babaji and Sai Baba and Jesus together in rebirthing, it was such a stroke of pure energy. Energy not surrounded or encased by any significance. It was just pure radiant love. It rendered obsolete all of the concepts, all of the mind games, all of the stuff, all of the packaging that I've had until that time. And what happened is part of me died and part of me emerged. I was literally rebirthed into a whole new way of being, not in the way of my God I saw myself coming through the birth canal, miles beyond that, where all of a sudden all the things that were holding me together in terms of concepts and beliefs fell away. And imagine yourself, imagine each of these being nothing more than tethers in a hot air balloon, and all of a sudden the balloon magically rises because of its own proclivity to do so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to bring up something that you also spoke about on this trip around the world, which I think must have been a wonderful year that you spent with. Were you married to Ariane then?
Not at the time, no.
Okay, so this was your girlfriend, I guess, your partner, and later on, coming back after all your experiences, I guess your life changed substantially because you spoke about your stay in Israel earlier, being there 5 months. And what struck me was your discussion about this book that you were given, a briefing for the landing on planet Earth. And I have some relationship to this and something you said about it, because you say here, quote, if you have, if you ever have the opportunity to read briefings, you will certainly appreciate why the publishers might have been encouraged to remove it from circulation. By nature, I'm not particularly fond of conspiracy theories, not because I think they are untrue, but because they distract. I have met too many people along the way who have gotten so caught up in the drama of chemtrails, ELF transmissions, the HARP Project, the reptilian puppet masters and their Illuminati, Bilderberg, minions, and like that, they have and the like that they have completely lost sight of the larger picture. Now, I relate to all this, and I know if some of our listeners out there, they're into the conspiracy theories of what's going on in the world, like fixed elections, okay, like intentionally keeping people polarized so that they can stay in power. And I would like to know how you see this as a distraction, because I'm just wondering, how do we deal with these things? Because it's, you know, you're saying, I'm not denying their existence, I'm just saying it's a distraction. So can you enlighten us on that?
Oh boy.
You know, because at some level, you know, I don't want to see these things continue, because I don't think it's right that there's certain perpetrations done on the public out of ignorance, out of the ignorance of the public. I mean, we obviously have to wake up, because we have co-created this situation. I mean, whether we voted or not, we are participating in the governance of what the parties that are elected in office. So it's complicated for me, and I know it is for our listeners. So help us out with this one.
There is an incredible answer to your question. It's not a simple one. There's an art. What happened was, at one point, a couple of months ago, we invited a list of 55,000 people in the metaphysical community to submit a question to higher consciousness that I would pass on to Zeus and get answered for them. And each one was invited to submit an individual question. Obviously, you know, with the flood of questions coming in, what we looked for was, what is the pattern of questions? What is the commonality that underlies most of these requests, or almost all of the requests? What came out of it was a teaching for me that blew my mind away. And it's available. It's available for free on the website. It's about a 5,000-page article that will answer your question. It's called "Breaking the Illusion's Web." And the concept was, rather than answer the question, instead of throwing a person a piece of fish, isn't it better to teach them how to fish, and how to answer any question they have, how to create perspective, bring in their higher self, and create almost an instant answer. And it also gets into what is happening with the solar system and the planet, what the shift is all about. I did not understand what the negative side, what the, you know, the other side was doing, what their agenda was, and what their game plan, their war plan was, until this article came out. We are right now in the throes of the shift, in which the doors are open for people to move into the fourth density, should they wish. There's nothing particularly wonderful about moving into the fourth density, but if you're ready, that's the next step. If you're not ready, you know, you're more than welcome to play the third density games as long as you feel that they're productive. The reason the Wanderers have come down is to say, by the way, you have a choice. You now can move into your place of free will, and if this is what you wish to do, here are the requisites and what you need to do to move on. If you don't wish to do it, no problem. Our job is to just let you know that you have the option. Mm-hmm. What is happening is unless you move towards a higher vibration, you will not be able to make the shift. It's that simple. You cannot make it fueled by righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. Something in the book talks about a T-shirt that I'll clean up a little bit.
Go ahead.
That I saw in Jerusalem that said very simply, fighting for peace is like effing for virginity.
Right, right.
It doesn't make sense.
That's such a great...
So if we're going to work towards the light at the higher vibration, mm-hmm. it is not about fixing the mess that we've made on the planet. The only thing that has to change on this planet is me. Mm-hmm. If I change, the entire planet is going to make the shift. It's that simple. And if each of us gets that personal message, we can move forward. Anything that triggers within you emotion on either side, either extreme joy, extreme sorrow, extreme anger, is out of balance. You have to figure out how to find balance in the midst of all of this chaos. You will not fix stuff by rallying around with righteous indignation, waving your fist, and giving back in full measure the very energy you are trying to change. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, yeah. So can one be an activist out of love instead of polarization, if you know what I mean? Can one stand up and say, this is not a good thing for... one who wants to live in love, one who wants to live in a little more harmony, one who wants to come into balance, one who wants to transcend or transition to the fourth density. And let me ask you this, because you brought up the question that I was going to ask later in our conversation. If somebody doesn't want to go, doesn't want to transition from third to fourth density, what happens to them? And what happens to somebody who says, hey, I'm ready to move into the fourth density? I want to do that. What do I need to do? What do I need to surrender? What do I need to go up? You know what I'm saying?
So, absolutely. The planet itself is a living body. Mm-hmm. She is already almost completely fourth density. She's transitioning in. We are told within the mythology that an early fourth density planet cannot support third density vibration. Mm-hmm. It can handle the second density, can handle the first, but it cannot handle the third, which means that all of the humans... people who do not choose to make the transition will be taken out and reincarnate on another planet where they can continue this illusion. Those who have the dual biology, which is a lot of the indigos and the crystal kids and the kids of age of AIDS being born today, mm-hmm. are already third and fourth density biologies. It's two completely different geometries. Mm-hmm. That deal with the two. It's not a very, very simple change. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have latent within us, in fact, the article deals with this. When we've done the genome project and charted all of our chromosomes, we're only dealing with 3 to 5% of DNA material. The rest are scientists, because they don't fully understand, are calling junk DNA. In fact, it isn't junk DNA at all. Mm-hmm. It's our latent DNA that will be reprogrammed to bring us into the fourth density, if that's where we choose to go. Mm-hmm.
That is very important. I'm glad you said that. You know, and I've heard it before. In fact, somebody else who was very immersed in the Law of One and Deliverance of Ra that we talked about earlier, being an essential teaching for the times, is that kind of the source of some of that information too, about this planet being in transition right now, and it's going to go forth the density, and either you'll stay on it and you will evolve with it or change frequency with it, or you will go to another planet.
Yes, it's. I think it's one of the seminal sources. Uh-huh. However, what's happening right now is you're getting a ton of corroborative information coming in. Yeah. Remember that when Carla Jim and Don Elkins did their work way back in the late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. They were leading the way.
Yeah.
They still do work today. They still meet, and Ra comes through as a slightly different form to them. Mm-hmm. And the information is exquisite.
Yeah.
But there's many sources now that are all saying the same thing. If you take a look also at a lot of the older mythologies, the Mayan, the Hopi, a lot of them are pointing to 2012 as a pivotal date, and 2012 falls smack dab in the middle of the shift. We've been in the shift now for quite some time. The shift is accelerating. What the article gets into as well.
And yes. Give me the title of the article. Is Breaking the Illusion.
Breaking the Illusion's Web.
And how does one get to that article?
It's a little tricky.
Okay.
If you go to the website, goingdeeper.org.
Okay, that's your site, right?
There's a button there that says Zeus Says.
Uh-huh.
And if you press there, you can ask a question of Zeus. But it says, before you ask the question, read this.
Okay.
And then read this will take you to this article. The article has been published by several other websites as well.
Okay.
So it's gradually getting out there. The article is available for anyone to use freely.
Yeah.
I mean, the object now is to get this information across as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
But what the article also talks about, the fact that the entire solar system right now is undergoing significant changes,
mm-hmm.
including planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Neptune and Uranus, I think it was, both have had massive magnetic pole shifts.
Yeah.
So imagine if all of a sudden our North Pole were somewhere in the middle of Brazil. We are moving in that direction. Our magnetic poles are shifting to such an extent that the FAA has already had to renumber several runways and issue new air charts.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, it's amazing. You cover this is covered in the book. There's discussions about this too.
Yes.
So.
Well, what the article does that's interesting is it actually correlates it. It talks about the fact that the heliosphere,
mm-hmm.
which is the solar winds that come off the sun, send out a sort of like an advanced party into the solar system. And there's a plasmic glow at the leading end of this heliosphere. It has now increased in size over the last few decades by a function of 1,500%.
Mm-hmm.
What that is telling us is that the entire solar system is moving through a band of extraordinarily condensed consciousness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's having a massive effect on every one of the planets, including Earth. The sun, our sunspot activity, we're having some extraordinary large class flares, as well as all of the individuals on this planet. People are literally freaking out. People are doing very strange things.
Yeah.
If you take a look at what we see now on our court TV, it makes no sense. It defies rationalization.
Yeah, let's do this, Jean-Claude. Let's take another break here because this is one of the more epic conversations of going deeper. You know, it has to be very involved. That's the name of Jean-Claude Coven's book, Going Deeper, and the website is goingdeeper.org. We'll come back and then talk some more.